Hello, Mystery Craters. It's Mike Ryan. And 2 weeks ago, we had an interview with the strength and conditioning coach of Southeast Tulsa College. This was the most controversial interview we've had here, probably on the entire Levitard and Friends network. It was quite shocking, the things he was making players do, especially in the time of social distancing. Now, 2 weeks later, the shockwaves of that interview are still being felt. And Tim Jerns reached out to us and wanted to join us again to give us an update on what's going on with him since that interview. And I think you're going to find this interview quite unbelievable as well. So without further ado, let's get into it. The return of Jerns.
A couple of weeks ago, we introduced you to a strength and conditioning coach from Southeast Tulsa College. Strength and conditioning coaches can be really unusual people. And Tim Jerns, during a pandemic, had these controversial workouts where he still had his 1AA players at Southeast Tulsa College going through a series of drills that had a lot of physical contact, a lot of human interaction. And he's agreed to come on the show again, even though evidently, him talking about those workouts on our show ended up getting him fired. So our thanks to Tim Jerns for joining us again. What happened? Why are you on with us right now? And why did you get let go from Southeast Tulsa College?
Well, you got to be feeling awfully good, huh?
Well, I don't feel good about anyone's misery, no.
Really? I thought that's what you do down there. Where are you getting you in you in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got another notch on your pen here. Your gotcha journalism. Just roll over a guy's life. You and your snarky big city friends can just laugh at me. And now I've lost my job because of you. Because you taking me out of context over and over again. And that's it. My life's ruined.
Well, I'm sorry, but how did I take you out of context?
You took me out of context. Oh, the entire conversation was, I could have that same conversation with 50 people in my life and I don't lose my job. And they go, good job, Tim. And hey, we like you, Tim. And I have it with you and I get fired. That's out of context.
I don't think that that's the way context works. I think people just learn that you had 8-9-1-1 calls because you had some drills involving a van and dogs.
Well, I guess it does no good to be to argue about with you with this. Bottom line is I've lost my profession, my chosen profession. I've lost my job. And yes, part of the reason was given to me by my AD, Craig, who's one of the finest men I've ever known. And he sat me down. He man-to-manned it with me. I mean, it was on the Zoom, but it was still eyeball to eyeball. And he told me, he goes, Tim, we can't have this. We can't have the dog pit. We can't have King of the Castle. We can't have three in the hole. These workouts just are not acceptable. And there were some other reasons given as well.
Well, hold on a second. Three in the hole. You didn't tell us about three in the hole.
I believe I did, sir.
You did? What's three in the hole? I don't remember three in the hole.
Three in the hole is a drill I've been doing for a long time since going back to my days at Denton College. Basically, what it involves is we got three players who all want the same starting position. We had it 3 weeks ago. I have three safeties, strong safeties, all of them fantastic players, hard hitter, head first tacklers, every one of them. And basically, what we do is we'll drain a swimming pool. We put the three of them in, and it's real simple. First man out gets starting position, and that's it. And whatever happens in that pool, no one speaks of what happens in that pool.
You said there were other reasons that you were let go, not just the controversial, drills and the interview.
Once again, not controversial around these parts in Tulsa. I could speak to 1,000 people in our community. Every single one of them would pat me on the back, give me a firm handshake, and look me eyeball to eyeball me and say, good job, Tim. Only when I go down to your world, where whatever you're doing down there in Miami, riding on monorails and drinking bright blue glowing drinks with your friends in rooms with mirrors, I don't know how you live. But the point is, suddenly I talk to you and everything's wrong. And that is context, sir.
How did I go about ruining your life? How did we ruin your life? You lost your job, so we ruined your life.
Yeah, well, like I said, I talk about these proven workout techniques that I have developed. They're not copywritten, but I was going to copyright them. I don't know. Now people are telling me they're illegal. I don't know if you can copyright things that are illegal. I got to get into that. That's something my friend, that's an IP lawyer apparently, but that'll be a discussion down the road. The bottom line is I go in, I meet with Craig, and all these things that I've been celebrated for, suddenly when they're put into your mouth, are negatives. And yeah, there's some other things. There's some things about, you know, allocation of funds. They have to say that kind of stuff. When you're going to fire someone with cause, I think they call it, you have to have other reasons. So there was some other junk that Craig laid on the table, but that wasn't why it happened. We know why it happened. It's you and all your friends down in Miami just laughing it up at me because I don't drive a Tesla or whatever the hell you think's funny.
Aren't you under investigation, though, independent of us? Like, you keep telling me that I'm out of context and that I wronged you, but people found out about this, and why are you under investigation? That's my fault.
That is, well, I mean, you know, it's funny. Suddenly, you're Mr. Popular in high school, and one person starts to say he smells, and everyone starts holding their nose. That's basically what happened here. And, yeah, there were some questions about some funds for our strength and conditioning program. We have a beautiful weight room here on the college, or I had a beautiful weight room here over there on the college. I'm no longer there. And because of my interview with you, suddenly there were questions about why do you have two weight rooms? Why is there another weight room that's at your house? Why have you set up some other weight rooms at, you know, at my former common law wife's brother's house? And why have we purchased six weight sets? And there's all these questions that normally no one would care about. But after talking with you, suddenly it becomes a big deal.
Is that the allocation of funds that's in question right now? Or are there other questions about the allocation of funds?
There's some other questions as well. There's some other questions. But mostly he said it's what was the exact words? He said redundant weight facilities was the term he used. And I'm not entirely sure what that means, but that's what he said.
Is it that you had weights in your house that you had? I'm sorry for laughing, but did you have a weight room in your house funded by the school that the players weren't using?
Let's stop here for a sec. Are you really sorry for laughing? I mean, honestly, man.
I don't want your life to be ruined. I don't. That's not something that I'm out. You accuse me of being a gotcha journalist. I'm not out to ruin anybody's life.
Yeah, My buddy and I talked about it, and I was going to quiz you on a bunch of stuff like state capitals. And every time you're wrong, say, look, see how dumb you are, but I don't have the damn papers here. But look, the point is, yeah, I set up another weight facility, another workout facility. And you know, was it called Tim 24 Hour Fitness? Did I charge some people for memberships in an old abandoned and unused Best Buy? Yeah, I did. And a bunch of hard hitters, a bunch of people who wanted to get after it, you know, pull themselves out of bed in the morning, you know, put their finger like a bowling ball in their red hole and pull themselves out of bed and show up and work hard. Yeah. Yeah. That's something that happened. That's something that, because I care about what I do, I did start an adjunct facility and I did charge membership fees using weight equipment from the college. But once again, it's funny how you put a dark light on something and suddenly you can see all the stains. But before that, no one cared.
An unused Best Buy?
Yeah, we have a mall that's not doing so well. There's a Best Buy there. I filled it up with some beautiful weight equipment, workout equipment, and some people started paying me $20 a month, $30 a month to show up. And I'd walk through the gym and I'd bark at them, give them a little, you know, kick in the fanny to get them going. And a bunch of people in our town, guess what happened, Dan? And this is such a crime. A bunch of people in our town got healthier. I only know how to do two things, Dan. This is the bottom line. And maybe this is what you missed. Because I don't know how you live, but this is how I live. I know how to get ripped and I know how to get other people ripped. That's it. I'm a one trick pony.
I'm genuinely sorry that your life feels like it's in tatters. Tim Jerns with us on ESPN Radio. What has happened since? So this story comes out, or I don't know how people learned about it. I mean, we're a national radio show. I assumed you knew that when you were coming on to defend your practices. What else has happened to you?
Look, I'm crazy. I'm like a rubber ball, man. You throw me, I'm going to bounce somewhere. And I don't always bounce back, but I'm going to bounce somewhere. And guess what? It's been a week. I've lost my job. I've lost my salary. I've lost my health care. The federal marshals seized the weight equipment in the Best Buy. So I've lost my gym, my private gym, my college gym. But I'm getting back on my feet. I got one of my best friends in the world manages a Red Lobster. And, you know, unfortunately, with what's going on in the world, they've had to shut the Red Lobster down. So I'm living in the Red Lobster right now. And they've got beautiful boots, big, comfortable boots I'm able to sleep in. There's a little bit of food around here. There's, you know, a little bit of well liquor. And so I'm using this as a home base. My girlfriend, Sharon, did ask me to leave her house. Did ask me to cease and desist all contact with her. So I'm using this Red Lobster, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a beautiful chain, well-run chain, very clean. And I'm using this, and I've got a next career move that I think is going to knock some people over, to be honest, Mr. Levitard.
What is your next career move?
Well, it's one of the great comeback stories of all time. And what I discovered from my little experience with you and your gotcha journalism, you know, putting another notch on your computer or your pen or whatever it may be, is that there's a lot of people who've been down this road. There's a lot of fine football players. There's a lot of fine coaches who were fantastic players, fantastic coaches who had their career ended because of a gotcha moment or because of a bad moment with law enforcement. And I've connected with a lot of them around the state. I've been getting DMs from them, and I put them together, and we are forming a football team, and we're called the Counted Outs. And what we are is we're a team of former great coaches, players, and we're getting together. We've had four workouts already. We've gotten some secondhand equipment. We don't have a league, Dan. We don't have any opponents on a schedule. What we're going to do is we're going to get in the best shape you can possibly be. We're going to get our uniforms. We're going to get our equipment, and we're just going to show up. And we're going to show up to work out, to practice. We're going to show up to other teams. We're going to stare at them through their fence and just be there in full equipment and let them know we're ready to play. We got a quarterback, Giles McLock, who was a four-star recruit 6 years ago. And guess what? He has one bad moment with law enforcement, and every gotcha journalism on the planet, every bit of the media goes after him, and now he can't play football. Well, guess what? He's not counted out with me. He's going to be my quarterback, and this is a talented young man. And yeah, if you look at what the media wrote about him, you know, the guy who writes the media for the police blotter, yeah, it says he exposed himself to some people one Saturday night while out partying. So that was it. They wrote him off, but he's my quarterback because they counted him out, and the counted outs are going to come back. So I'm putting this message out there right now. If you got a program and you want to play some people who are really hungry, you play my team. You play the counted outs.
I can't believe that you're living in a Red Lobster.
That's really, Dan, everything I just said to you, every word, one of the greatest comeback stories in history. And one thing you care about is that I'm in transition right now with my career.
I mean, it's interesting. I'm sorry. It's not. I really don't mean to laugh. I feel terrible about laughing, but the idea that you're living in a Red Lobster seems too ridiculous to be true.
Can you just answer me one question? Where do you live right now?
Well, I live on an oceanfront property. You know, the gotcha journalism pays well.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you sit in your oceanfront property in Miami and you laugh at me because I'm in transition.
I mean, I didn't mean to laugh. It just, you know, Red Lobster, it's I'm sorry.
Look, all I can tell you is there's some good stuff going on. This is a beautiful story. I don't know your show that well. My friends told me you guys, you know, you bust them up, that you guys can be sick puppies. And I thought you liked to laugh. I thought you liked heartwarming stories. I just had a beautiful story happen to me. When I was coaching Southeast Tulsa, there was another coach I didn't get along with. He was our safety and defensive backs coach. And you know, there's this thing, Dan, between white and black people sometimes where there can be a tension. There can be a thing. And I'll be honest, he's an African-American guy. He's a black fella. And he and I just right from the jump did not hit it off. I was suspicious of him. He was always looking at me weird. I didn't like the music he was playing. He hung out with these shady characters, and we didn't hit it off. And there was a theft at the football team, and there was some stuff missing from my locker room. I had a bag of weed, and I had about $80 in cash that were gone, and I immediately accused this gentleman. And it became a thing. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes just between white and black people, there could be this thing. So it became a big thing. And then we never got along. We stopped speaking at that point. And I tried to get him, I'll be honest, I tried to get him fired from the team for his theft. And so this is a beautiful thing that happens. The day after I'm fired, this gentleman pulls up, our defensive backs coach, and he gets out of his car. And once again, he's got that music playing, which I'm not a fan of. And I come out of the Red Lobster and parking lot's empty. And he just looks at me and he goes, "All right, you're not a coach anymore. You're not on the football team. We don't work together. Let's do this." And right in that empty parking lot, and I'm getting a little choked up on this, I'll be honest. He and I just went at it. And I went for his legs. He got a couple shots in on my head. And this must have lasted, I mean, damn, like a half hour. We just went at it. And finally, in the end, I got my fingers up in his eye, and I fish hooked him the side of his mouth. And he started screaming. I cut him pretty badly, and he tapped out. And he stood up, and there was a thing between us. There was just this thing, and it was beautiful. It was respect. And he got in his car, and he drove away, and I went inside. I was cut up, and I had the rock salt all embedded in my skin, and I went into the Red Lobster, and I cleaned myself off. And I thought, you know, it's just, you could talk about, yeah, I was a big shot strength and conditioning coach, and we loved this sport. And I was riding high, but when it comes down to it, it's about that kind of respect. And I saw it from my defensive backs coach.
That doesn't sound like a beautiful moment at all. You and I define beauty somewhat differently. Before we get out of here, again, Tim Jerns with us on ESPN Radio. He used to be the Southeast Tulsa College strength and conditioning coach. He blames me in an interview we did about his controversial, well, he says they're not controversial, but his drills seemed dangerous during the pandemic. I've been told as a condition, we normally don't do conditions with interviews, that you have something that you need to say at the end that was the reason that you were able to do this interview with us.
Yes, sir. I had some things I wanted to say to you on this interview. And I don't know what you call him. He's the brother of my live-in lady who asked me to leave. So anyway, he said, Brendan told me, you can't say the things you're going to say to this guy, this Miami guy. You'll get in trouble. So he knows someone who used to be a lawyer who I ran my statements that I wanted to say to you by him. And he told me what I could say to you and what I couldn't say to you. So this statement I'm going to say to you has been vetted by a lawyer. I'm coming for you, straight up. I'm going to Red Lobster hop my way down to Florida. I'll work a couple days at each one. And I'm coming for you. And I do not in any way mean that as a physical threat. I do not mean that as a threat of that I in any way have am armed or am carrying any kind of tool or implement that could be used to create harm or do damage to an individual. I mean this in an abstract sense that is more of jargon or colloquial language. But you don't make one single mistake about it. I am coming for you. And there's going to be a night where you're going to wake up and you're going to see me there with that muscle V cutting right down the middle of my body, because believe me, and it's going to be on. And by on, I mean in a verbal, non-face-to-face sense, in a sense that in no way will be connected to any lawbreaking or a felonious assault. I mean this strictly in a satirical way for your program and not in a literal threat way.
That sounds like a threat, Tim. I don't care how many vetted journalists. That sounds like a threat. You lawyered up, but that sounds like a threat.
It is not a threat, sir. That is legally defined as satire. But I wanted you to get your ears around that. I wanted you to let those words sink in through your ears all the way down to your nutsack. And I want you to carry those words around with you, because they are as true as a hurricane.
All right. Tim Jerns, again, I am very sorry that that's what happened. I find your story interesting. I did not mean for there to be those sorts of consequences. Southeast Tulsa College has fired Tim Jerns, and now he is threatening me in a not literal, satirical way. Tim, I do appreciate you sharing your story with us. Thank you for being on with us.
Thank you, sir, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I don't think Tim Jerns expected how upside down his life would turn after giving us that interview 2 weeks ago on the Mystery Crate. I kind of thought something was coming his direction after he was being so flippant about his practices at Southeast Tulsa College in the age of social distancing. I mean, we're all in quarantine and he's doing these voluntary, but really sound like involuntary workouts. And his methods are, let's just say, medieval. So Tim Jerns' life is certainly taken a turn since then. I appreciate him returning to the Mystery Crate, giving us an update. It's sad to see how quickly his life has unraveled, and we hope that he can get back on his feet and maybe join us again sometime here on the Mystery Crate. Speaking of the Mystery Crate is a part of the Levitard and Friends Network. We have a diverse portfolio. Marty Smith, Sarah Spain, Mina Kimes, Stu Gatz. Dan has a long-form interview series in South Beach Sessions, which if you haven't heard the most recent episode, I implore you to. It's with Whitmer Thomas. Whitmer Thomas is not a name that's instantly recognizable, but I beg you to check out his stand-up special on HBO Go. It's one of the more unique and emotional stand-up specials I've ever seen. After I saw it, I immediately reached out to Whitmer. I wanted him to share his story. It's an insane story. I mean, the guy was kidnapped at 3 years old, and Dan doesn't even nibble on that. As the grief eater, there's just so much grief in Whitmer's life that he bypasses Whitmer just flatly saying he was kidnapped at age 3, and he covers that in that special. It's certainly worth your time. Sarah Spain got Charles Barkley on this week. Marty Smith recently had Miles Garrett. Mina Kimes is getting you prepared for the NFL draft better than any pod in America, I believe. And Stu Gatz is putting out multiple episodes a week of Stupodity, including one with Mike Greenberg. All of these are certainly worth your time. We appreciate you supporting us as you're listening at home, as you're trying to get through this very bizarre time. We're here for you. Please be there for us. Subscribe, rate, review. More great content on the way. Thank you so much for supporting us.